Be a witness of Jesus. Acts, chapter 1, verses 4-8. Let us turn to a book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 4-8. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Someone I know very well has been wrongly accused and found guilty in a court. He actually asked someone that he trusted to be his witness, but this person was of no help. This witness was asked to support the other party, and was paid for doing that in a court. So this person lost in a court case and became a sinner. He got so angry, and collapsed at the end because of the rage. He was taken to the hospital. He told me that a human being cannot be trusted at all. He was outrageous. How could that person say a fake thing in front of me? I saw him weeping. He told me that he would know how Jesus would have felt when Peter denied about knowing Jesus in front of the Lord 3 times. That is right. A witness in a court is this important. A witness is a person who was present at the time of incident. In the Bible, a witness was called as martyr. This word has a meaning of a martyr. This implies that to be a martyr, who testifies everything truly despite all the pressure and conciliation, you need to be ready to die even. But the Lord said you will be my witnesses, as he was ascending to heaven. The best mission of the disciples was being witnesses of Jesus. Even though the difficulties and persecution, death comes so close to us, the ability to boldly testify that the Lord has died on the cross and rose again is what the witnesses should have. The people of the early church were like that. They were being martyred, but they told themselves that they are witnesses who tell others about the cross and the salvation. But to be witnesses, there is an important condition attached to it. Only when we receive power through the Holy Spirit, then we can be witnesses. So in the words that we saw today, in Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, it says, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This verse is a key verse that tells it all about a book of Acts. The core value of Acts is in this verse, chapter 1, verse 8. Firstly, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, secondly, you will receive power, thirdly, you will be my witnesses. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what is our mission? It is to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us and to become his witnesses. The purpose that he has given us power of the Holy Spirit is to become witnesses of Jesus. In other words, the work of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost was a turning point in becoming witnesses. Have a look at disciples who have experienced the work of Holy Spirit. Their core values have all changed. Talk that only talked about how great they are and how well they have done so far have changed to the testimonies that lifted the name of the Lord on high. The ideas on their possession have also changed. About the possessions that they claimed to be theirs, they began to confess that these are the Lord's. Thirdly, their owner has also been changed. The lives that they claimed to be their own lives, they started to confess that God is their owner of their lives. Fourthly, a birth of church as well has started from the work of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost. It was how the early church has begun at the start. Therefore, the center of church is only the Holy Spirit. We need to have worship services that the Holy Spirit stays with and works through. We need to sing praises that are full of Holy Spirit. A church that serves others according to the touch of Holy Spirit is a true church of God. We need to go back to Acts again. Acts is called as a march of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost does not end in Acts, chapter 28. Today, we need to long for the same work of the Holy Spirit, which worked through in Pentecost. The main passage that we are looking at this morning is about the disciples getting disappointed about the death of the Lord. Jesus died on the cross powerlessly, and the disciples were disappointed about that. His disciples tried to leave Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a place where the disciples had failures, got hurt, and it was a place where they did not want to stay any longer. But the Lord told them like this: "Do not leave Jerusalem, and wait for the things that I promised. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And as promised, the Holy Spirit worked through in Jerusalem. Through these words, we can understand the three kinds of pathways of grace. First of all, this was a command not to leave Jerusalem. Verse 4 says, "On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." Why did the Lord say not to leave Jerusalem? Jerusalem has a historical significance. It was a place where Abraham has put Isaac as a sacrifice on the altar in the time of Old Testament. Also, it was where the temple of the Lord was built at the time of Solomon. According to the 2 Chronicles, chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Then Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David." It was on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite, the place provided by David. In the time of New Testament, Jesus carried the cross on his back and completed the salvation of human beings in this place. But, at the time, to disciples, it was a place where they wanted to leave from. It was a place where they no longer wanted to stay in. Jerusalem was a place of failure, where disciples had difficult time and persecutions. They had bad memories of this place, and they abandoned the Lord and fled away from this place. To disciples, it was a place where they did not want to remember. To them, it was a place of failure, and it was where they got hurt. But, why did the Lord say not to leave this Jerusalem? The reason the Lord said not to leave was to encourage them to not flee away from the problem but deal with it straight away. People that commit suicides, they give up living their lives because they have could not put up anymore and they could not endure anymore. As a result, they decide to end their lives. Jesus commanded his disciples not to leave Jerusalem. By this, he meant do not flee away from the problems that you face these days, but deal with these straight away. If we look at the people that fail, they fail with the same issues. If we look at the serious criminals in a jail, people that have committed the same crimes over and over, they came back to the jail repeatedly. Burglars came back to the jail after committing burglary again. We need to overcome the obstacles. It is the same with faith. The Lord did not want us to leave from a place of failure, depression and failure. The Lord wanted us to rise up again. Many of you here today will also face hardships in your everyday lives. Some of you will be having difficult time and all depressed. Some of you might also have been suffering from failures. Some of you also would have been disappointed and fed up. There may be someone that cannot even see a glimpse of hope. But I hope you will never ever give up. I pray and bless you in Jesus' name, that you will focus on the Lord and rise up again. Have a look at the family of Naomi in a book of Ruth. When Bethlehem had a bad harvest, they should not have gone to Moab. They should have put up with hardship and should have persevered. They should have waited patiently. But they went to Moab and lost her husband, two sons, and came back. When people welcomed Naomi who returned home, Naomi told people, "Do not call me by a name Naomi anymore, but call me Mara instead." It was a confession that she had difficulties because she left the house of God. We also face challenging situations and difficulties in our lives. When things are going against us, we should not flee from the problems. That would not solve the root causes. But we need to deal with it straight away. Then what should we do to solve it? We need to trust in the Lord and wait for the response from Him. Verse 4 says, "On one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about.'" We do not just wait, but we wait for the response from the Lord regarding the promises that the Lord showed to us. What is the promise of the Lord? Verse 5 says, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." It was Holy Spirit. It is waiting for the presence of the Holy Spirit. A life of a true believer is not about acting with our own thoughts and our ways, but getting led and guided by the Holy Spirit. I am going to share a short story on R. Rs, a renowned Scottish expert on preaching. Even though it was nearly a time for a worship service to start, a pastor did not turn up. A secretary heard sound that pastor was talking to someone outside. It was a pleading sound, almost like begging. The time for the worship service was up, so she carefully opened the door where the sound came from. The sound was coming from the library. No one else was there, but the pastor was asking the Holy Spirit for help. He was pleading, begging to Holy Spirit. "Holy Spirit, I have prepared my sermon for the service, but if you do not stay with me when I preach, then I cannot do anything. Please, Holy Spirit, be with me." The pastor was asking the Holy Spirit for help. That is right. We need to preach with this kind of heart. We need to praise and worship Him with this kind of attitude. We need to serve the Lord like this, and in the same way, we need to choose our pathways, then we will be able to experience the amazing work of the Holy Spirit. Faith is being guided by the Holy Spirit. We need to ask Holy Spirit for the right paths, and we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Then we will experience that He leads us to the best possible ways out there. The timetable of history is in the hands of God. Verse 7 says, "He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority.'" The Lord told the disciples to wait for the promises of God, and they asked, "When would that time come, and how long do we need to wait for?" The Lord told them that the Father has set by His own authority. In other words, times or dates are all in the hands of God. God takes care of individuals, takes care of nations, and takes care of history. The end days of individuals and days of history also are all in the hands of God. In other words, life, death, fortune, and misfortune also are all under the authority of God. Therefore, timetable of history is in the hands of God. We need to wait for the timing set by God. There are instances where we have failed because we could not persevere and we could not wait. If someone gave up splitting the rock into pieces, which should have been hit 101 times to split, and gave up splitting after 100 attempts, then this person has failed just because he did not try one more time. If we go to New York, Rockefeller Centers are so large, these have formed a forest of buildings. Rockefeller is not only known as a world-famous billionaire, but is also widely known as a person who has done a lot of good things for the society at large. Even till now, I heard that the people of New York do not have to pay for the price of water, because the Rockefeller Foundation is paying for the price for everyone instead. But Rockefeller also had a crisis. Once he was in mining, but he was involved in a fraud and lost all the money he had. He even lost his principal amount. The mine workers, who did not get paid for the work they did, all turned to be rioters. They demanded Rockefeller for the wages and threatened him. Rockefeller could not put up with the pressure and could not put up with riots. He thought of committing a suicide. When Rockefeller first started his business, he promised God that he will make sure to give 1/10 of his income to God, to honor the way and the will of God. He knelt down in the minefield, that no longer operated and cried out to God. He prayed to God like this: "Your words are clear, and I trust that these are perfect. I have been giving my tithes correctly according to the will of God. Now, please show me and that you are a living God, please prove this to me." He cried out in his prayers. Then, he heard a comforting voice that came from deep within his heart: "When it is the right timing, you will harvest fruit. Dig deep, dig deeper." Rockefeller believed in these words and started to dig deeper in the minefield which no longer operated. People around him made fun of him. "That person is out of his mind," they laughed at him. But out of sudden, from that closed minefield, where the gold chunk should have been found, black liquid started to splash instead. It was oil. Just before he tried to commit a suicide, he discovered an oil spot. And because of this discovery, he became a billionaire. If he gave up without digging deeper, then he would have become a person of failure. In your given circumstances, try to dig a bit more, dig deeper, wait a bit more, put up with it a bit more. Persevere a bit longer. Surely there is a timing that God has set. There is a timetable of God. There are three kinds of secrets, which God only knows about. Death is a secret. No one knows about the timing of death. It is a secret which only God knows about. Secondly, the second coming of the Christ is a secret. For sure, the Lord will come back. But no one knows about the timing. Only God knows about this secret. Also, thirdly, the timing for the answers to our prayers is a secret. Just because we have prayed well today, does not mean that we have been answered. Just because we have been dozing when we were praying, it does not mean that our prayers have not been answered. These are merely our own thoughts and our feelings. There is a timetable of God. When the timing of God comes, He will answer us. Therefore, do not be disappointed, and do not worry just because things are getting delayed. Patiently wait for the responses from God. When the Holy Spirit comes, we become the witnesses of Jesus. Verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." It is because we would be able to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us. Power is a strong force that is like an explosion. Strength of God that is explosive and powerful comes out through people. When we are fully filled with the Holy Spirit, the evil spirit leaves us and the sickness leaves us. A weak person becomes a person of power. A cowardly person becomes a confident person. We will fight against the sinfulness and will have a victory. It is because the Holy Spirit gives us power. In Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "So he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty.'" That is right. What would we do with the power of a human being? The Holy Spirit needs to be with us. Through the Holy Spirit, we become the witnesses of Jesus. When people were strengthened with the power of the Holy Spirit, they became the witnesses of Christ, that spreads the gospel about the cross and the salvation. The people of the early church were like that. They were being martyred, but they confidently told others that they are the witnesses of the cross and salvation. I still remember a sermon, which I was so touched by, in my whole life. Chrysostom, who was a father of the church in the days of the early church, has left this last sermon in his time away. "Dear all, I am about to begin the journey for the truth. It is a journey with the Lord. What would I be fearful of? Fearful of a death? No way. It is because Christ is my life. Am I scared of being asked to leave from this world? No way. Everything on this land and the world itself are all belongings of God. If I get asked to leave from this land, then the new heaven and the new land will be there waiting for me. Am I fearful of losing all I have? No way. Even though things are taken away from me, things will be piled up in the heaven above again. If those people send me away to the mountain, then I will become Elijah. If they throw me into a pit, then I will become Jeremiah. If they throw me into a sea, then I will become Jonah. If they persecute me with stones, then I will become Stephen. If they bash me with whips, then I will be glorious like Apostle Paul. Therefore I am not afraid of anything. This was the last sermon of Chrysostom in front of his death. My dear family in Christ, what is our mission? It is to become witnesses of Jesus. It is to tell others about Jesus. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit, and giving us the power of the Holy Spirit? He has given us the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can become witnesses of Jesus. We should not leave Jerusalem, but we need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit to become witnesses. Jerusalem is the closest place, it is our family, next-door neighbors and things around us. And we need to reach out to throughout Judea and Samaria. Judea is about the evangelism of our own people and Samaria, end of the earth, is about the world mission. I pray in Jesus' name that we will all receive the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can become witnesses of Jesus in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.